Cleveland triggers in. James, 2 seconds, 1 second for the win. LeBron James delivers. That's a winner in Cleveland.
NBA Australia, how you going? That's right, man. It's NBA Australia. It's Thursday, April 26th. I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone and Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull, The Brooklyn Game, and whoever else wants to pay me money. And I'm just hanging out here at Larry Arm Studios, New York City, New York, making sure you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA playoffs today. Just while repping Australia, just a little bit, mate. That's right, just a little bit. Bit of Australia. What do you reckon? Okay, so today's show wraps an absolutely insane ass night of playoff games with a game winner in Cleveland, a huge comeback in OKC, a seesaw in Toronto, and a closeout in Texas. We've also got all the playoff editions of the usual dumbassery, yeah, nah, the unpopular opinion of the day, and Outback Takehouse. Get some shrimp with your takes. And as we do every day, because all of them are in the playoffs, well, sans Patty Mills now, we've got the Daily Australian Player Watch, where we check in on what the Australians got up to last night, and we'll also preview the single game this evening, the Aussie-on-Aussie brawl of Bucks-Celtics. We've also got a brand new Kiwi Corner, Where in the World is Jonah Bolden, and we'll finish up with a brand new The Diary of Stephen Adams. Ah, love me some Diary of Stephen Adams. It's episode 106, it's NBA Australia. Let's go!
Oi, 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 it's old mate Dally over here. That's right, Matty Dellavedova. And you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
You better. It's an attack of the coaches being fired, apparently, because as we do every day here in NBA Australia, let's start with the NBA whip around. Right there, Coach Buds. Mike Budenholzer is out in Atlanta. So he joins Steve Clifford in Charlotte, Jeff Hornacek in NY, Frank Vogel in Orlando, as well as Earl Watson, David Fizdale, and Jay Kidd as coaches being fired this year. So there are seven teams without a coach now, and I'll talk about Buds a bit later, but that is basically the news that broke last night. It was pretty crazy. Straight after the playoff game as well, the first two, Atlanta are like, yep, so Woj, you can go ahead and tweet that out now, bro. And everyone's like, oh. Just after LeBron hits a game winner, we're going to talk about Buds being fired? Fuck no, we're going to talk about LeBron. That's how it goes. And let's get straight into that, shall we? So let's do it. The playoff games last night, we had four of them, which was a bit bonkers. And look, to be honest, I could have just done with two. Four's a little bit over the top. Let's stretch this out, man. Like, it's the first round. There's like a finite amount of games that we can have where we have basketball every single night. And you're putting fucking four of them on one evening? Dude, we've only got Celtics-Bucks tonight. Oh, it's like, oh, bro. Mate, it's the NFL draft. It's like, fuck, who cares? Come on, just give me two NBA games to watch. You're going to sit there and watch Roger Goodell fucking with his big frog head, giant fucking big jowls over there fucking.
And in the number one pick in the NFL draft, the dickheads over here of Cleveland select some asshole.
Like, that's how it's going to go. Are you going to sit there and watch that instead of a fucking NBA playoff game? Get fucked. All right, speaking of which, we had an absolute corker. First up last night, the Cavs beat Indy 98-95 to go up 3-2 in their series because of a LeBron James game-winning three. What? A buzzer beater with 3 seconds left. He hits a giant three. Indy had a foul to give and let LeBron, A, get the ball, B, not get fouled, and C, get a clean look, and D, let him fucking hit it. Unbelievable. And the Cavs, what a game this was by LeBron. What a game it was overall. This was fucking bananas. This was back and forth. The Cavs seemed like they had it. Indy came all the way back. And we had some weird fucking Cavs lineups thrown out there. We got a lot of Larry Nance Jr., etc. Kevin Love didn't have a great game. But let's talk about it. This was like just the LeBron classic where he smashes. Everybody else is kind of like, oh, fuck. Yeah, I guess we'll hit some shots. So Indiana, the Souvlaki King, Domantas Sabonis. Leads the way with a double dose of garlic sauce. Yeah, I'll have a combination meat and double garlic sauce. Thanks, Domantas. Yeah, cheers, mate. 22 points. Dominated in the paint. Goes 8 of 12 from the field. Absolutely crushes it. Victor Oladipo. He was blocked by LeBron at the death. So this is how great the LeBron end of this game was. He blocks Victor up one end, saves the game, and then hits the fucking three to win it at the other end. Absolutely unbelievable. And was it a goaltend? 100% it hit the backboard. Everyone's like, oh, it's a really hard call to make. Fuck no. It's like, are you watching the ball? Did it hit the backboard first? If it possibly did, go, hey, we might want to check that. What the fuck y'all doing, refs? Anyway, still amazing. Good job, LeBron. But Wigdort had a shit game, I'll tell you that much. Jesus. He ends up with 12 points on 2 of 15 shooting. Ugh, what the fuck, man? 2 of 15. Kobe. There's 12 rebounds as well for Wigdort, but Jesus. Dude is just going fucking hard at it. And sometimes you got to pull it back a little bit. Rest of the team were okay. Thad Junk Buckets, Thad Young, 16 points. And I remember, so with our Brooklyn season tickets, when Thad Young was on the Nets, I'm pretty sure they won every game that I saw when he scored over, 14 points. Because he's just always around the bucket. He just gets it, and you're like, oh, shit, Thad Young's got, 14 points. I don't know how, but that was cool. And they usually would win those games. Indy, however, no dice. Bojan Bogdanovic, 4 of 9 for 11. Corey Joseph looked handy as well, 6 points, 6 assists, but it was on 6 shots. It's a lot of 6-6-6. Number of the beast. Miles popped up here and there as well. Old skinny Miles with 8 points, but also got stuck with a bunch of fouls, which is not snat if you're trying to help your team in a playoff game there, Miles. Every time he fouled, he had 4 fouls, I think, in the first half. It was like, oh, shit, Miles, what are you doing, mate? No help from Darren Collison either. Apparently the best three-point shooter in the NBA. Blech. Give it to Jingler, mate. 1 of 5 for 4 points. Not great, Darren. But how good was Lance Lance make him dance? He literally got Rodney Hood dancing. Rodney Hood just fell over, watching Lance's feet. Go watch it. I think we posted on Twitter. It was fucking awesome. He also had 12 points, a couple of big yams. But Indy, man, they just couldn't do it. Their offense just sort of dries up when Victor isn't doing stuff, and Victor did not do stuff. Whereas for the Cavs, it's all LeBron. It's a pretty clear thing. LeBron, he's quite clearly past the point of the Victorness. 13 years into his career. 44 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists, 14 of 24, 1 of 4 of 3. But how's this? 15 of 15 free throws. That is fucking ridiculous. The craziest part is, I believe that is 15 of 15 from the free throw line in a playoff game. That's only happened 25 other times in the history of the NBA. Jesus, that's like Shaq. He's like, oh, I hit him when it mattered. It's like, all right, sure you did, Shaq. Prove it. Nah, LeBron just did. 44, 10, and 8. A game-winning fucking 3. A game-saving block. Unbelievable. The king. God damn it. Recognize. Just imagine if he drags this team to the fucking finals, man. This bunch of no-names. It's like, who's the second best player on this Cavs team? Kevin Love is fucking playing like shit. It's probably Kyle Korver. Speaking of which, 19 points for Kyle. Kyle Korver, maybe. 5 of 9 from 3. Pretty good. As mentioned, Kevin Love, not great. 11 and 10. His left hand is clearly bothering him. Every time he gets the ball, he's just like, oh, shit. And there's no whip on all these passes, his shots. Even his rebounds feel sort of tentative. There was a real couple of turnovers from LeBron towards the end as well. One was a wraparound pass to Kevin Love where Kevin was not there. And LeBron also just elbowed the ball out of bounds on the third last possession of the game. Still, Iberian Hamman. The pig farmer, Jose Calderon, hit 2 big threes. 18 off the bench. Rodney Hood, Jeremy Clarkson missed all the threes they took. But Green and Nance were solid off the bench for the Cavs. J.R. Smith, not solid. Solidly shit. Jesus, 0 points on 0 of 8 shooting. He goes 0 of 6 from 3. J.R. gonna J.R., but damn. So there you go. What a fucking game this was. Seriously, that was a LeBron performance for the absolute ages. He was unbelievable. That was very, very fun to watch as well. Moving on, the Raps beat the Wiz 108-98. They got 3-2, same as the Cavs over Indy. I mean, we expected this, didn't we? But what we did not expect is how tight this was. The Wiz kept it tight all fucking game. They're up 5 in the fourth. And the lead just kept going back and forth. And Toronto finally pulled away at the very death. Playing Kyle, Big Booty Larry, DeMar DeRozan there. My name is Jonas Valanciunas, CJ Miles, and Dallon Wright. They're basically one big and four perimeter dudes. Pretty awesome. Even though the Raps got out-rebounded 50-35, they out-rebounded 50-35, which is pretty fucking intense. That's a lot of rebounds, bro. Like, a lot. I guess that's the problem with the Wiz. They've got, like, Gortat and, like, Keith Morris, and no one else is, like, doing much, apparently. So, oh, no, they, yeah, the Wiz out-rebounded. I'm talking about the Raps. Come on. It's basically Valanciunas and no one else. So, still, they win while being out-rebounded 50-36. That's crazy. 50-35. Fuck, what am I talking about? God damn. Nice. So, look, the Wiz, Wall ends up with 26-9-9. Beal has 20 points on 20 shots. 10-12 for Zipolish Hammer. And my single stats do with it. Kelly Oubre Jr. had 14 points. 1 of 7 from three, though. Really sunk the Wiz as well. Wiz shot 5 of 26 from three for the entire game. Didn't score for basically the last 3 minutes. With 3 minutes left, basically, until 16 seconds left, they didn't score. Yeah, that's not going to win you a playoff game. For the Raps, DeMar DeRozan there had 32, 5 assists. Goes 3 of 4 from 3. Does DeMar. Not bloody bad. Big Booty Carl Larry, 17 and 10. My name is Jonas, 14 and 13 with 2 blocks. Looked very good in his 32 minutes. And Dwayne Casey just realized, oh shit, if we have him out the middle, surrounding with shooters, he's going to work. So I got a feeling that's going to happen again next game. Dellon Wright had 18 points as well. Looked real good. 6 of 10 from the field, 2 of 2 from 3. He is a fucking problem, is Dellon. 9 points for Teenage Mutant Jakob Poeltl. Serge Ibaka did very, very little. They just look so much better with CJ Miles out there stretching the floor even further than Serge. Crazy. So there you go, Raps. The best part was John Wall told Drake, I'm not coming back here. Well, John, I'm pretty sure that's true, and I'm not entirely sure if you're going to force a Game 7, because I'm pretty sure the Raps are going to win the next one. What do you reckon? What I reckon is Raps are up 3-2, and that's it. Wiz, I don't think you got a chance next one. How about the second fucking crazy-ass game of the evening in the third game? OKC 107 beat the Jazz 99 to go, well, basically bring the series back from the brink 3-2. Every game for OKC is a fucking closeout game now. Staring down the barrel. And then who rocks up but Rusty Westbrook. OKC win this after being 25 points down. What a fucking game. Are you kidding? I'm watching this with my little brother who's visiting. And we're like watching this going, yeah, nah, this is done. Let's watch the Bruins game. Flicked it over the Bruins game. You're like, oh, this is pretty fucking good. And then flick it back to the OKC game, like, oh, shit, they were down 25. It's now like 19. I better stick here and watch this. And watch them come all the way back from when they were basically just done. They were D-U-N done. They were in Mexico already. They were OKC you later. And then they pull out a 32-7 run. What the fuck was this? Third biggest comeback win in playoff history. They go on like a 50-20 run. That's just fucking unbelievable. So Utah, to wrap up their game, Donovan fucking Mitchell had 23 points on 22 shots. 9 of 22, he goes. Jay Crowder was the only good dude off the bench. He had 27 leading the Jazz. 8 rebounds, 9 of 19, 6 of 14 from 3. Good Jay Crowder showed up, apparently, as opposed to shit Jay Crowder, which is what he is most of the time. The Jingler, Jingling Joe Ingles, 16 points. Goes 4 of 9 from 3. Adds 4 rebounds, 3 assists, because look, hey, if nothing else, he's well-rounded. Rudy Gobert, this Stafford Tower, he had 11 and 10. But when he got his 5th foul in the 3rd quarter, that is where this entire game turned on its fucking head. Rusty just went, oh, there's no giant 7'4" fucking Frenchman in the post. Let's just do some shit. Also, Rusty's shot just started dropping. But it meant Paul George could like get random drives happening and stuff like that. Steven Adams even had like a bucket. And like, yeah, without Rudy Gobert in there, Utah are like, ah, fuck. Turns out Derek Favors, not as good as Rudy Gobert. Ricky Tiki Tata, he had 10, 12, and 7, shot 4 of 14 though. And when Donovan Mitchell and Ricky Tiki Tata go a combined 13 of 36, yeah, not great for your backcourt. Ekpe Udoh was the only other Utah bench guy to hit a fucking shot apart from Jay Crowder. Dante Exum, Kangaroo Kobe, Jonas Rebko, and Ryan O'Neal took 3 shots total between them, and all of them were O'Neal, and he missed all of them. So that bench, apart from Jay Crowder, brutal. Utah shot 40%, and this was fucking the literally just the Rusty game, because in the second half, They had two turnovers total, OKC. And Rusty and Paul George had 79 points combined in this game. The rest of the Thunder, 28. Holy shit. Rusty finishes with 45 points, goes 17 of 39. Oh, Rusty! I love it. 5 of 9 from 3, which is, for Rusty, fucking absolutely remarkable. 15 rebounds, 7 assists. And how's this? Of his 39 field goal attempts, 23 of them were pull-ups that the Jazz were just like, dude, yeah, fucking shoot that. Literally, the only offense he was running was either coming off an Adams pick and roll or a pin down, and he just literally just started making shots in the third and fourth quarter, and it was fucking glorious. You're like, Rusty, no, 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 yes! That's what he did every fucking time. Sixth career 40-point playoff game for Rusty. He had 20 points in the third quarter alone to spur this comeback, and it was legitimately amazing. Unbelievable. I love fucking Rusty with all my heart. And it's hard to sit there and watch him like be shit. So when he has something like this, gotta revel in it. Paul George, playoff P, he's back with a block. 50 seconds left. Basically saved the game in a very, very LeBron reminiscent move. It was like a follow block on Donovan Mitchell. 50 seconds left. The Thunder only up 7. That would have dragged it all the way back and it would have been a problem. But Paul George blocks it. They get the ball back. Game is over. 34 points, 12 of 26 from the field, 2 of 6 from 3, 8 rebounds. Paul George, playoff P, needed that. 79 points between the two of them. Unreal. Melo, bench for much of the fourth. He ends up with 7 points on 6 shots. Jesus, 5 rebounds. Absolute flog. Looks washed. Keep him on the bench there. Billy Donovan. Steven Adamsbury, we'll talk about him later in the Kiwi corner. Alex Abrines was out there in the fourth as well, guarding Donovan Mitchell. They were switching on him, and he was actually pretty fucking good, and also hit a crucial three from the corner when he got a kick out and nailed it. It was unreal. So there you go. OKC, do you reckon this scares the Jazz now? They're like, oh, we had that. That was it. We were through to the next round. Oh, what do you mean it's now 3-2? Fuck. Well, thing is, game six is at home for them. So they've just got a happy fucking two-shot chance to win two games and get through, or, you know, win one and that's it. Send OKC off to Mexico. I don't know, though. Do you reckon it rattled them? I feel like it might rattle them. It's going to be very interesting to watch Game 6. Speaking of no Game 6, Wolves, Rockets. Rockets smash them 122-104 to win their series 4-1. And this was fucking bananas. The Wolves got up in this, led at the half, and then bam! Out of nowhere, out of halftime, the Rockets scored 12 points in 3 minutes. And just, it's like 9 minutes in like to the third quarter. You're like, hey, didn't we lead? How are we down 6? What the fuck just happened? The Rockets happened. But hey, what do we expect? The Wolves, Big Cat, had a really good game. He was 23 points, 14 rebounds, 20 for Jamal Crawford after breaking his own ankles the game before. El Jefe Teague wasn't too bad, 17 and 7. But it really was the rest of the team. Like, Jimmy Butler just had a bit of a shocker. And that was a shame. Andrew Wiggins, 14 points on 14 shots. What do you expect at this point? 0 assists. The classic Andrew Wiggins line. Jimmy Butler goes 8-5-5, 4 of 10 from the field. But, you know, that's the end of the season for the resurrection of D-Rose in 2017 and 18. And I fucking loved it. He finishes with 12 points. Does Derrick Rose, former MVP. He goes 3 of 7 from the field, 2 of 3 from 3. And so that means for the series, he averaged 14.2 points a game in 23 minutes. Shot 29 of 57. That is fucking awesome. Goes 7 of 10 from 3. Man, I just hope that he, you know, this is the slow road back to D-Rose actually discovering his game again and being a fucking bad motherfucker. Because I love you, D-Rose. MVP of my heart. And the Rockets, 24 and 12 for the beard. Whinge and Chris, he had 12 and 9. You're everybody's favorite State Farm spokesman. Jesus, sell some more insurance, Chris. Fuck off. But the game really belonged to Clint Capela. 26 points, 15 rebounds. Fucking hell. Dominated this game. Also ably backed up by 15 points for PJ Tucker and 16 for Ariza. Just blew the fucking doors off them in the second half, though, did the Rockets. 67 points to 45, and off they go. They take on the winner of that Utah OKC series. Rockets cruising Minnesota. Some questions, mate. Tibbs, what do you reckon? We'll talk about that in a second. So let's just get to the NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Come on, LeBron and Rusty, you both get the knife of the night because that was a fucking knife. LeBron, actually a dagger, a game-winning three. Who the fuck else could win this in this game? He also moved past Jerry West with the second most 40-point playoff games behind MJ. God damn, but that three was just so fucking cool, man. Like, that's why you want to see the Cavs, like, get past Indy, don't you? Because it's going to be a little bit more interesting watching LeBron torment the Raptors one more time rather than the Pacers and Victor, you know, actually challenge them and just sitting there going, what do you want to watch? A Toronto Raptors-Indiana Pacers series? Or LeBron James once more trying to ruin Toronto's lives? Give me the second, please. LeBron now has 61 career playoff games where he's been the team's leading scorer, rebounder, and assister. 61. The next two who are closest to him, Tim Duncan and Larry Bird, with 21. He's got 40 more playoff games for his career where he's been the leading scorer and rebounder and assister. That is unbelievable. And what a fucking game that was. 44-10-8. Game-saving block. Goaltend. Game-winning three. Unbelievable.
This is going straight to the pool room.
The other knife, Rusty. That was one of the most amazing runs you'd ever see. Just dude, he was like Johnny fucking Flames over there. Johnny Storm, just whoa, I am the human torch. You're like, Rusty, get him, bro. 45 points, unbelievable. Willed his team to a win in a playoff game at home. The crowd were out of it, the team were out of it. Rusty goes, ah, fuck it, I'm going to just shoot every time. And he magically started hitting him. It was awesome. What a fucking game. Anya, all right, how about old mate, no mates, though? Who's old mate, no mates?
Old mate, no mates.
Today, oh, Rodney Hood's ankles after being crossed up by Lance. Lance, make him dance. How about J.R. Smith? 0 points on 8 shots. Jesus. It's going to be tough. Do you want to say Victor Oladipo? Maybe 2 of 15. Dude, he is just pushing too hard sometimes. And the Cavs are really just like, yeah, he's the only good player on their team. So they were actually doubling him off the top. Like anytime he'd like have a screen, they'd just go, oh, fuck it. You know, make the pass. And sometimes he would. And then they're sort of stuck. Cleveland's rotations were pretty okay. That's how Domantas Sabonis ends up with 22 points. He's like, oh, shit. I've got like a pretty open fucking baseline jumper, or I've got a nice little jumper at the top of the key, or I'm just open in the paint. But obviously Cleveland are like, fuck it, we need to shut down Victor because anytime he does anything good, we get our asses beat. So there you go. Oh, mate, no mates. It's hard because I love him, but Victor, it's who it is. How about bitch-ass of the night? Whoa, let's get to it. Who was bitch-ass of the night? Both Playoff P and Jinglin' Joe Ingles had crackers last night. So this has to go to the Wolves, doesn't it? What a whimper. I mean, come on. I mean, mostly it's probably Andrew Wiggins' fault. But Jimmy Butler, Andrew Wiggins, man, that was some bitch ass showing against the Rockets. I mean, come on, man. Like, you're in game one, you're in game five in Houston, and both times down the stretch you fucking fade. That's some bitch ass shit. So there you go, bitch ass in the night. And how about better than Lonzo Ball? Look, Donovan fucking Mitchell, only reason the Jazz still had a shot down the stretch, but couldn't do it. Still, 22 points on 23 shots is better than Lonzo Ball, no matter how many points he scored in his dad's big baller league. So there you go. Onyas. All right, let's move on to Yeah Nahs right after these words.
Hi there, this is Joe Ingles, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, we're back. It's NBA Storage. Yeah, no, we take 3 NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Let's do it. Number one is one and done. Done. Yeah, nah. Yeah, of course it will be, but not because the fucking college committee of flogs were like, yo, NBA, can you do this? God damn, that college committee shit was dumb, wasn't it? They're like, yeah, harsher penalties. Yeah, no shit. Maybe we should let people talk to agents. Yeah, no fucking shit, you idiots. All these big college committee things, they're like, oh, hey, we also need the NBA to get rid of one and done because these dudes, like, it just incentivizes people to cheat. Like, no fucking shit, you idiots. You got to fix college basketball before you can tell the NBA what the fuck to do, though. The NBA are like, dude, we're not going to listen to you. We'll get rid of one and done when we're fucking happy. And because, you know, because we decide to, not because you fucking told us, Condoleezza Rice. Chill the fuck out. So one and done will be done by 2020, no problems, I reckon.
So number two, LeBron's game winner was as good as his one over Orlando in 2009. Yeah, nah. Yeah. I mean, it came later in the series. Also, they lost that Orlando series. So it's easily as good. And even though this is only the first round, I mean, it was probably a little bit more crucial. Because goddamn, they lose that game. Probably the first time LeBron goes out in the first round, and he still might. So there you go. Number three, Coach Buds, as mentioned at the top, he's out in Atlanta. Was this a smart move by the Hawks? Yeah, nah, of course fucking not. Buds is good. Like, he led a team to fucking 60 wins. Come on, man. I mean, this isn't even a, what was his name? Coach fucking Mike Brown leading Cleveland to 60 wins because he had LeBron. Coach Buds had like Kyle Korver, Paul Millsap, Horford, and like Jeff Teague. And like Damari Carroll. So Buds is good. This is the thing. Atlanta, this is why you can't do, like, if Buds is unhappy, that's fine, but you make it fucking work. Because best of luck rebuilding with whatever shit coach you now get. You're trying to build Spurs East. Every time that Coach Pop was like vaguely on the hot seat, like 98, 99, a couple of other times, and he's like, the Spurs like, no, we're going to ride with our guy because we know he's a fucking good coach. And I don't care if people want to hear a new voice. Like, he's the guy. Your guy. Instead, Atlanta, you hawked it all up, and Buds is gone. That's really fucking dub. So extra bonus there. Should Buds be snapped up by Milwaukee right now for game six? Yeah, nah, yeah, bring him in. Like, what's going to be better? Just Coach Buds on the sideline or fucking Joe Prunty? Give me fucking Buds right now. Just patch him in. Just go, Buds, all right, these are the guys. He's like, all right, sick, let's do it. And look, I'd give fucking Milwaukee a better chance of winning tonight against Boston if they had Buds than with Joe Prunty. Just saying. So there you go. Give it to me. I mean, who's going to be better for Milwaukee or anyone? Like Fizdale? Clifford? I mean, Buds, man, even if he goes to Phoenix, I'm very much liking wherever Buds goes. He's a good fucking coach. Atlanta, you dumb. Finally, extra bonus. Should Minnesota move on from the Tibbs era? Yeah, nah, they can't just yet, I think. I think he's okay for this year. Maybe nudge him towards kicking their asses into even more of a higher gear. Defensively, maybe bring in like maybe one or two extra dudes who are like, hey, Tibbs, offensively, maybe we should be doing this, maybe. See how it goes. And then look, you get to make a decision next year. I mean, they finally made their playoffs. You can't fire the dude after taking a team to the fucking playoffs at this point, I think, having not been there for 14 years. So he's got at least a year to go. So Tibbs, I don't think he's going to be on the hot seat. He's got his, you know, Chicago Bulls West division. I think he'll be all right. So what about the look at me, unpopular opinion of the day?
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
I don't even know if this is unpopular, but I think Buds is a really fucking good coach. And I think he could quite easily be a championship coach if he has the right team. Like, who would you trust more, Ty Lue or fucking Mike Budenholzer? Give me Buds, man. Jesus, I'll tell you that much. And what about Outback Takehouse for today? Get some shrimp. It's Thursday at Outback Takehouse. It's double shrimp, double takes at Outback Takehouse. Also, Alice Springs Chicken. Outback Takehouse for today. Rusty Westbrook is the most entertaining player in the NBA because he could always be the best player in the NBA on any given night. I mean, it's not that takey. I think that's pretty true. He's entertaining as fuck. So there you go. Outback Takehouse. Extra, because it's Thursday, let's do the extra take on top of it. I mean, what do you agree? Atlanta really fucked up by firing Buds. It's not a giant take either. So there you go. All right, let's move on to the Australian Player Watch right after, let's say, these words over here.
Oh, kia ora, Brews. This is Stephen Adams, eh, Brew? And you're listening to NBA Stray, eh? Cheer, Brew.
All right, we're back. It's NBA Series, Australian Player Watch. We only had two in action last night. The Jingler and Dante. And also, we missed our Patty Mills with his all-over Red Rover final game in Game 5 against the Warriors the other night. He had a big one, as mentioned. We mentioned it at the top of the show, but we didn't have it in the Australian Player Watch. So 18 points, 5 rebounds, 7 of 15 from the field, 4 of 10 from 3 from Patty. Off he goes. See you, Spurs. But man, Patty went out fucking firing, mate. 18 and 5. Pretty good. So last night, Joe Ingles, as mentioned in the loss to OKC, had 16 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 of 9 from 3. Couldn't slow down Paul George there at the end, but I'm not entirely sure who fucking could have. He and Rusty were just bananas. And Ingles, look, you know, he was very, very, very good everywhere. Dante Exum, Kangaroo Kobe last night, 2 minutes, no stats. So that's a 2 trillion on you, Dante. So let's go quickly to, where in the world is Jonah Bolden? That's right, 76ers, second round pick from last year, Jonah Bolden. We're not entirely sure because he didn't play in the last Maccabi Tel Aviv game. But they do have a game against Hapoel Unet Holon today. So we'll find out if Son of Bruce suits up or not, and we'll get back to you next week. So love me some Where in the World is Jonah Bolden. Good follow on Instagram as well. Very inspiring dude. You know, a lot of God quotes, but still inspiring. Kiwi Corner, what do you reckon? Well, go check out Kiwi Corner and check out on Stephen Adams Brew. Well, in the win last night, OKC over the Jazz, he had 6-6. In their loss Monday night, he had 9-7 with 2 blocks. And on Saturday in that loss, he had 8-2 with 1 block. He's shooting 10 of 21 in those 3 games, a bit down from his usual 65% in the regular season. But you kind of expect that, battling Rudy Gobert every single fucking night, night in, night out. And so his rebounding numbers are a little bit down as well. But this is what happens. I mean, Utah are rolling out Favors and Gobert there the entire time. And Adams is basically playing next to Carmelo Anthony, who is a spud. So there you go. That's just how it goes. All right, let's move on to the game day baller, game day inspiration board, and the game preview, singular, for tonight, right after, let's say this one.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Straya. Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah, we're back. It's Patty Mills game day baller, game day inspiration board. And look, we don't really have a Patty Mills one. We don't even have a Dally one. We don't have a Thon McCur one. We don't have a Ben Simmons one. Everybody's in Zero Dark 30 lockdown for some reason, apart from Andrew Bogut. So let's quickly... the Andrew Bogut inspiration board. I'll tell you what. He retweeted Frank Kaminsky yesterday with Frank saying, Twitter is the crowning jewel for be who you want. That is, of course, until you become something that people don't agree with. Then it's all that person you... Then it's tell that person you hate them and to be someone else. I love me like Kanye loves Kanye, says Frank Kaminsky. That's basically, and Andrew Bogut pointing down to that. I'm not entirely sure if Frank Kaminsky is just saying, hey, I'm weirdly racist or something. But, you know, I'm just saying. Just saying. Who knows? All right, man. I mean, the Kanye thing, that's fucking bananas. What a fucking psycho. All right, there you go. Let's get to it. It's time for the game preview. Game preview. Game preview. Celtics and Bucks tonight, the only game of the evening. So Boston, Milwaukee, who have you got in this? Well, the Bucks, if they play fucking Dally. Jesus, Joe Prunty, did you learn anything? It's like, oh, if we play Dally, put him on Terry Rozé, then Rozé does fuck all and the Bucks win. Now, if I don't see fucking Dally out there for 20 minutes tonight, you should fire Joe Prunty there and then on the spot. Just go, get the fuck out of here, you idiots. Come on, like who can coach? Just like get Jerry Stackhouse in for half a game or something. So the Bucks again, this will all totally depend on the role players from Milwaukee. Thon had obviously 2 great games at home in games 3 and 4. John Henson, he's been out and out and out. Dally, Brogdon, basically these dudes just need to hit shots. Jabari, even like Shabazz Muhammad had a pretty good game last game. So thing is, that's all well and good. Role players playing well at home, that's like established as that's how you win games in the playoffs. You know what? We also need a fucking giant game from Giannis. Giannis has not had like a signature fuck you game this series at all, where he's like laid the wood and had like 38 points and kicks the shit out of Jaylen Brown defensively and stuff like that. Giannis, show us. Come on, man. Get it out there. I'm a unicorn, bro. I'm all Greek and shit. Yeah, fucking smash then. Go out there, get a 40, 12, and 12. We just saw LeBron do it. And come on, man. We can see you do it, can't we? God damn. That's all I asked for. Let's just do it. Come on, bro. Meanwhile, Boston, you know, Stevens has been plotting and scheming for ages for this one, and he really, really wants to close this out in 6. So, whoa, they're going to pull some funny, funky shit. But I'm going to lean with Giannis and go with the best player in the series, and I think the Bucks win it. I believe in Giannis, that he really needs to have a massive game. Obviously, Bledsoe, Middleton, hopefully they'll do some shit. Boston, they're kind of due for just like a bit of a stinker. So give me the Bucks in game 6. Yeah, I'm going to bank on the bank of Giannis, the Greek freak. Let's do it. And you know what? That's it for today. That's us. We're done. That's Thursday in the books. We're going to finish up with a brand new Diary of Stephen Adams after all this. So we're back tomorrow for more ridiculousness. I'm going to a Yankee game today. The Sabo, it's going to be fun. I guess I can report back on that. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at NBA Australia. Like us on Facebook over at NBA Australia as well. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever else you get your fucking podcasts or whatever. Check us a nice rating and review while you're at it. Tell a mate. Go, oi, listen. It's fucking awesome. That helps us out heaps. The more people listen, the more fun I get to have. Thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. They're the best band in Australia right now. Their new single, Stop, is an absolute corker. Requested on Triple J. They've even got a new single coming out soon. God damn, House Hats are good. Extra special thanks to legends of Green, 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 Iowa, Fascinator, Dozers, Sex Jedi, and the Ramshackle Army for the tunes you heard throughout the episode. Check them all out on Bandcamp and Facey. Give them a smash. NBA Australia, support Australian bands. And that's it, man. Stick around for, as mentioned, a brand new Diary of Stephen Adams. And we'll catch us tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later, Horizon!
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. It's Stephen Adams here, eh? Just popping in for my weekly usual diary entry for NBA Australia, eh? So let's get to it, Bruce. Here, Diary. That's me, Stephen Adams, bro. Hey, how's it going? So, it's been a bit exciting around here for the last day or so, eh? All because my friend, Russell, went more mental than my cousin Rongo after a couple of spluffs with his ADD medication, eh, bro? But Rongo never dragged us to a big playoff win, eh, over the Jazz like Russ did last night, bro. So, it was amazing to see up close, eh, bro? Like, Russ just had that look in his eyes, bro, that said, I will kill your kitten if you get in my way, bro. So everybody get out of his way, and he went mental, bro. Fully mental. I was even a little afraid, bro. Like, on the court, I set the wrong puck, bro, and Russ somehow had a shiv on him, and he threatened to stab me, bro. It was like being back home in Wellington, bro, and trying to steal one of my 40 brother and sister's favourite rugby ball, eh, bro? So, still, what a win, bro. I was fully expecting to be in Mexico again by now, bro. Up my tickets and everything booked, eh? So, then Russ won us that game and we're still in it, eh? Even with that other fella, my friend Paul, he had a good game too. He's funny, that fella. I started calling him Playoff P, eh, bro? And then the fella went and took it for a nickname. I was taking the piss, bro. That's funny as, bro. Ha, silly Playoff P, bro. So, now that I think of it, I wonder if my Playoff Pivluva and Playoff Hungy that I brought in from home for all the brews, eh, bro, actually worked, eh? I brought in the Hungy and Mello was all like, oh, Stephen, bro, your Playoff Hungy is delicious, eh? And I was all like, oh, sweet as, bro. But can you not eat all of it there, Molo, bro? It's for everyone, eh? And he's all like, what? He didn't listen, bro. I had to forcefully take it away from him, eh, bro? Tried to eat an entire pig, bro. So, anyway, my playoff hungry, my playoff pivlova may have inspired little Russ to win us that game for us, eh? So, also, it was very special. It was almost as special as watching my bro, Russ Tucker, Captain Newton Zed for the cricket, eh? Fully special, bro. I just wonder if he let it get real bad before actually saving us, bro. Ooh. Stay woke, bro. Okay, so we're off to Utah today to play against that big French fella in the Jazz again. So, wish us luck, bro. I don't want to have to go to Mexico just yet, eh? So, that's it for this week, Diary. Hopefully we're still playing when I write to you next week, eh? Cheer, bro. Kia ora. Love, Stephen Adams, bro.